This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, July 23, 2023, the seventh Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Sir, did you not sow good seed in the field?
May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
A question is asked by those who are paying attention. Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Why are they asking the questions? Because they're looking out the field and they're seeing not wheat, but weeds. Last week we heard a parable about the casting of seeds, and the parable in that is the context of people who do not receive the Word of God. Our Lord adds another parable, and it speaks of people who receive a corrupted word. This question that is asked by these men, didn't you sow good seed in your field? I pointed out last week, whenever we hear parables, we can kind of disconnect with them because they're just simple little stories that really don't speak to our time. Oh, this one speaks explicitly to our time, absolutely to our time. These men ask this question of the sower because they expect to see something in the field and they're seeing something else. In our day and age, there's a lot of people that ask me the question every single day, sometimes a few times a day, about what's going on in our day in the church. Isn't it supposed to be like this? Why is it like this? Why is it like that? There's a problem. People that are paying attention see it. It's very obvious. Others, not so much. This is one of the few places in Scripture where a parable really speaks very explicitly to what we're dealing with in our day. This corrupted word, this corrupted message that if you're paying attention, you can see, but a lot of people don't see it. Our Lord, through the Holy Spirit and through the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ himself, presents to us an answer to that question. Well, is it supposed to be good? Why are we seeing all this other bad stuff go on? One, we should see the church for what she's supposed to be. The church is supposed to be perfect. And she is in her establishment. Doesn't seem to be perfect. I'm talking about what our Lord Jesus Christ established the church. He establishes the Catholic Church on the back of Peter. And he calls 12 apostles to tell people exactly what he is revealing to them. He gives them a special charism of the Holy Spirit to not only remember exactly what he says, present it exactly as he wants, and to actually prove it by their miracles. This is what he does to establish this perfect church, this sowing the good seed that is the Catholic Church. It's supposed to be holy. Because the Catholic Church is, and again, this is the catechetical answer as to why the Church is holy, is because it is the only repository of the efficacious means of grace that God uses to make souls holy. If God is using a vehicle, the Church, to make souls holy, then just by its very nature and what it does, she is supposed to be holy. He set it up to be holy. He sowed good seed. What happened? Ain't God's fault. Okay, use bad grammar. All right. Not his fault. It explicitly tells us here. How did this happen? While men were asleep, his enemy came. While men were asleep. Not why God was sleeping or why God wasn't paying attention. Why men were asleep. Our Lord Jesus Christ established the church on the back of Peter, a man. And he called apostles, men, to present this truth. They are supposed to present it exactly. their successors. He gives them the power of the Holy Spirit to lay hands on men and make them their successors to where they're supposed to do the same thing. But from before our Lord even establishes the church, he starts giving us a heads up. Beware, you're going to see wolves in sheep's clothing. He gives us all these heads up. In the New Testament, St. Paul, we're talking like 15, 20 years after our Lord ascends into heaven, St. Paul is not just teaching us that it's going to happen. He's seeing it. He's addressing it. He's watching corruption go on in the church. And he warns us against it. We need to be diligent. What happened here? Men weren't diligent. They were negligent in doing what our Lord told them to do. For whatever reason, they were negligent. First and foremost, clerics, bishops and priests. It's their fault, first and foremost. They were negligent. For whatever reason, they start doing what men want to hear. St. Paul points that out in Galatians. Don't be men pleasers. If you are a man pleaser, you will not please God. It's never stopped. That's the order of the day in our day and age. Oh, we've got to make these people happy. We got to lighten up this. We got to lighten up that. We got to shorten this, make sure people get out on time. Yeah, you got to go to Sonny's and all that good stuff. Pleasing men, it does not please God. It's negligence, absolute negligence. God established this to be good and very good. It's like creation. He creates everything. He looks at it all and says, this is very good. And what happens in short order? The fall. And it's not very good anymore. That wasn't God's fault. Adam and Eve were negligent. It always has to do with the truth. This is what Satan, I mean that literally, as a person, this is what Satan does. He disguises himself as an angel of light. He questions God's truth. First words out of his mouth to Eve. Did God really say? Yeah, he did say, you won't surely die. Questioning truth and then a lie. Questioning truth and then a lie. Nothing new under the sun. Did God really mean this is a sin? Because there's so many people involved in it. So, you know, it must not be a real sin. You know, now we know more about that sin. No, it's still a sin. It's still a horrible sin. Name a bunch of them. Negligence isn't allowing anything. It doesn't matter. You know, they were searching with God or whatever they might want to think. No, that's not how it works. There is a truth. Most people in our day and age don't know truth that hits them in the face. I mean, the most basic of the truths. You're a boy. No, I'm not. I'm a girl. Really. It's that bad. It's that bad. God's a God of truth. God's a God of order. It's negligent to think otherwise. You're all or what? You can point fingers. You got to point fingers. These men, they point fingers at the weeds. Didn't you sow good seed? Why we got weeds? Got to call a weed a weed when you see it. You got to do it. You're all are welcome, folks. They're weeds. Well, there's a lot of places. They're weeds. Okay? That's the bottom line. They're weeds. All are not welcome. That's the whole shepherd thing. What do shepherds do? They keep lions and wolves and stuff out of the fold. All aren't welcome. That's stupid. You're going to tear up the sheep. You're going to kill them. You're going to scatter them. That's not right. It's weeds. It's negligence. Not everybody's negligent. You see it right in this parable. There are a lot of them that are negligent, let the enemy come in. But there were some who paid attention. There were those who were negligent and those who weren't. Yeah, you got to be kind of asleep at the wheel to let the enemy come in. But there are some people who will get their eyes open. I'm like that. I was out of the church for over 20 years. All of a sudden, it's like, wow, weeds everywhere, like in my life. Wow, there's weeds everywhere. Fix it. So you can have your eyes open. Obviously, some at least had their eyes open from being negligent. Didn't you sow good seed? Yes, I did. How did this happen? An enemy has done this. It's satanic. And as subtle as it may be, it's still satanic. I'm not saying that all you're all are welcome for folks are satanic, but they're playing right into his hands. I'm not saying they're possessed or anything like that. They're playing in his hands. Because Satan is, if God is a God of truth and order, Satan is a God of, small g, of disorder and untruths. He likes confusion. Somebody in high authority in the church actually wrote something this past week. Just because we have disagreements with somebody doesn't mean we can't have deep communion with them. Yes, it does. Yes, it does mean we can't have deep communion with them. I cannot come into Mass and say, bread and wine become the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And somebody else said, no, it doesn't. You cannot have deep communion with them. The Catholic Church teaches the one thing, and the world teaches the other. This is the reality. Weeds. You got to call them out. God is not the... This is the... we can sit here and blame God. Oh, why is God letting this happen? Why is God... He warns us all the time. He warned Adam and Eve, you do that, you'll surely die. You want to surely die. Oh, well, I like the lie because that sounds better. That's easier. I get to do what I want and there's no consequences. Wow, doesn't that sound like our day? I can do what I want, there's no consequences. And you got people in church telling that that's okay. That's where you get the whole all are welcome nonsense. This stuff is real. Our Lord tried to give us a heads up on this. And you can't blame him. Men were negligent. I sowed good seed. Men were negligent. He is not the author of sin. He's not the author of confusion. He makes things very good. His truth is truth. The world doesn't get it. Pontius Pilate, our Lord, people who see the truth. What is truth? You know, Pontius Pilate, he fit right in our day and age. What is truth? Relativism. Corruption, confusion. It's diabolical. It's demonic. It's demonic. Satan is incessant. He will never stop lying. He is the father of lies. Okay? That's what he does. Is try to get people, but he colors it up and makes it sound nice. Doesn't it sound nice to say all are welcome? Doesn't it sound nice to say you should never tell anybody about their sin because you could offend them? Good. Good. Maybe that'll get them thinking. They're going to make them mad, never talk to you again. That's on them. This is what we're called to do. An enemy has done this, and anybody who perpetuates and nurtures weeds is playing again right into his hand. And there are some, when we talk about, for us, we read it in English, I can tell weeds from wheat. We're not talking about stuff like that. We're talking about stuff that looks just like wheat. Okay, not only does it look like wheat, it makes you sick if you eat it. This is what we're talking about here. Okay, this is why in some of the versions it says cockle, some of the versions it says tares. Weeds is a more modern thing like that. We're not talking about something that is very, very obvious to the eye. We're talking about deception. It looks like wheat, but it's not. It's not going to bear any fruit. It's not. This is what we're talking about here. And you've got in the church, just like this, you got guys wearing collars. Many of them are just playing into Satan's hands because of their negligence. There are others who are very close to him, and they're wearing collars. You got people wearing collars that walk around and say the most heinous of sins. Oh, we need to build a bridge between the church and these people who commit heinous sins. There's always been a bridge there, always. Jesus Christ was the bridge. The bridge is a toll road. Repent of your sin and you can cross into the church. That's the bridge. It's always been there. But this particular person wearing a collar said, oh, no, we just got to accompany them where they are. He'll let them stay that way because it's fine. That's satanic. He's invited by bishop to speak at churches and people come and listen to him. Why? Because they're negligent. They don't know the truth. This is what we're living. You got the bishop in Ireland who, a stalk of wheat, a good priest, gets up in front of everybody and just mentions mortal sin and identifies what mortal sin is and what they are. And the bishop comes out, things usually don't work fast in the church. This bishop came out, he said that on Sunday, the bishop comes out on Monday morning and apologizes to the weeds. And pulls up the stalk of wheat, the priest, and casts him aside. This is a bishop in the church. He's a weed. That's satanic. I'm not saying he's possessed. I'm just saying he's working on it. This is what our Lord's talking about, deception. This message that you get from on high. It's God's will that there are other religions because it doesn't really make any difference. There are many ways. You just have to be right in your heart. That's, again, that really sounds nice, but it contradicts what Jesus says. And I don't care what your position is in church. You start contradicting Jesus, you're a weed. You got to call a weed a weed. Oh, no, you can't call a weed because that's uncharitable. Like John the Baptist, when he looked at the Pharisees, he said, "You brood of vipers." And our Lord looks at him and said, "You blind guides." That's not very charitable, Jesus. Yeah, okay. But again, it doesn't sound nice, but it's the truth. What do you do about it? You like flip out and start killing people and beating them up and burning their houses? That is absolutely not. The guys asked this. "Hey, there's weeds here." "Yes, there are. An enemy has done it. Do you want us to rip them up?" "No. Just let them grow up together. And then at the end, we'll do that." Why doesn't God do something about it? Because he's gracious and merciful. Some of us appreciate that. One commentator said, "God does not always punish evil on the spot." I would actually submit to you that God does not usually punish evil on the spot. I'll speak for myself, but I think there are probably one or two people in here, maybe more, who would probably agree with that statement, that God doesn't usually root up evil where he sees it, every time he sees it. I think at least some of us would be in trouble if he did that. He doesn't usually do that. He's gracious and merciful. I just mentioned some, not by name, but I like the head nods because a lot of people knew who I was talking about. As long as they have breath in their lungs, and this is why every time I go here, I always in the Mass pray for them, because as long as they have breath in their lungs, there's an opportunity they might repent. This is a nifty thing about the whole weeds and the wheat thing in our day. What we're talking about in this context, if you got weeds in your garden, they're just weeds and you got to pull them up, okay? Or you just got weeds everywhere. For us, the weeds can actually turn into wheat. That's called the power of the Holy Spirit. All right, that's called repentance. That's conversion. They can actually convert into wheat. That's what we want. And if you start killing them and beating them up and stuff like that, then a lot of that just kind of negates that whole opportunity for mercy thing. And I, again, all of all, so we need not be so quick to write off the people. I wouldn't want God to write me off while I was doing what I was doing for 20 years plus. This is just my experiential sort of approach to this whole thing. So it's his mercy and his grace why we don't do this, why we don't rip up the church. And, you say, "Well, it's evil." Yeah, it is. He warned us that it was going to happen. That's part of the result of the fall. And evil's going to run its course. It isn't going anywhere. I pray every day that evil will leave the world. Stop. Start praying for things that are going to happen, maybe. That's not going to happen, ever. Our Lord lets us know that. Evil's never going to go anywhere. It's got to run its course. This is a sin, curse, and fallen world. And this is really kind of a bummer that, as bad as it is now, which particularly in the context of the church, it's never been this bad, ever, in history. What about the Arian crisis? It's never been this bad, ever, with deception and confusion, ever. Okay, back in those days, Arian thing was you had Arians and not Arians. It was pretty divided. You knew the sides. We don't know the sides anymore. You can have deep communion with everybody. No, you can't. Sounds nice, but you can't. It's not the truth. Evil's got to run its course. The bummer is that it's going to get worse. It might get better for a while, but it's going to get worse. Our Lord tells us, the scripture, if our Lord should tarry, even the elect will become deceived. That's the most faithful of people. They'll be deceived if our Lord would tarry. It's going to get that bad. Even the most faithful of people would be deceived. It's got to run its course. Because I'm a comeuppance guy. Everybody knows. If you come around, if you're a visitor, ask somebody. For almost 30 years of my life, that was my job. That was my vocation, giving people their comeuppance. I liked it. I'm one of the few people, I worked a career for 30 years and never one day did I ever not want to go to work. It was great. Every day I got to give people their comeuppance. It's a good thing. So, I know all about that. I appreciate it. And most of us, like to see bad people get what they deserve. But then when you sit back and all the bad stuff I've done, I'm glad that I didn't get what I deserved at that particular time. They're going to get what they deserve. Okay? And there's nothing that you can think of as a punishment that could even come close to what they're going to get. If you really think about this, this whole wheat, bundle up the weeds in one thing to be burned, and bundle up the other ones and put them in my barns. God's going to get his pound of flesh, so to speak, at the end. And it should make us happy. One of two things is going to happen. Only one of two things. No middle ground. One of two things. People who may incense you, may just push you to the point of absolute righteous indignation. They may repent and become an eternal brother and sister in Christ you're going to spend all eternity with. So you shouldn't really think that bad about them right now. Or they're not going to repent, and you can't consider anything that is going to be equal to what they get. That whole to be burned thing, we know what we're talking about here. We talk about hell, which is a real place. It is for all eternity, where you know, it's not a state of being. Okay, it is a state of being in a place where the worm never dies and fires never go out. That's what they have to look forward to. That should, either or, we should appreciate it. So, at the end of the day, when we look at everything that's going on right now, everything that our Lord talks about in this parable is a result of negligence. I've never heard this before. You're negligent. I never paid attention. You're negligent. I can't believe he called me negligent. Oh, well, I was for years. it's the truth. That's that whole truth thing. We've got to pay attention to truth. Not what we think is true, but what God has said is true. We need to do that. Because our whole Catholic life is, how many times are we like, watch, watch, watch. He says that all the time. And this is the same thing. People who didn't watch allow this to happen, and they perpetuate it. People who do watch, they identify it. And our Lord, just do this. And when we start doing what the Lord says, then our watching comes to the fore. Then our watching bears fruit. Because at the end of the day, what are we looking at? You want to be in that bundle of wheat, not in that bundle that is taken up to be burned. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.